All right. It is 10:01 a.m. on May 12th, 2023. This is the time and date scheduled for a pre-hearing conference and Public Service Commission case PU-22-391. This is also OAH file number 2023-0002. And this case concerns SCS Carbon Transport LLC's siting application. Present or on the line for our pre-hearing conference this morning is Victor Shook, PSC staff member, Lawrence Bender, and Jess Vilsack on behalf of the applicant Summit, attorney Randy Bakke, who is representing intervener John Warford. Attorney Steve Leibel is on the line representing a group of interveners. And then finally, attorney Zach Pelham, who is a special assistant attorney general designated to represent the PSC in this matter. So this pre-hearing conference was scheduled to discuss the final scheduled hearing in this matter, which has been set for June 2nd, 2023 at the Bismarck Heritage Center. And just to recap, our first hearing in this matter was held in Bismarck, and because of the number of witnesses scheduled for that day, we did not get to the intervener's witnesses, so the PSC decided to schedule a second hearing date for Bismarck. Can I ask who just joined?
Yes, Brian Jordy, Your Honor. Sorry for being tardy.
Oh, no problem. Good morning, Mr. Jordy. So I'll also note that SCS Carbon Transport filed a motion yesterday to set time limits for testimony for the Bismarck hearing, and our last pre-hearing conference that we had in this matter to discuss the Linton hearing, we spent some time talking about the Bismarck hearing, and I know that was one of the ideas discussed at that pre-hearing as well. So now that Linton's behind us and we can focus on Bismarck, with that framework in mind, I just want to go around and ask all the parties how many witnesses they plan to have, and thoughts on the motion as far as limiting testimony, or I think the motion or Mr. Bender's idea was to set a time limit for each witness. So if there's other ideas on how we set time at that hearing, I'm willing to hear those as well. So I'm going to start with you, Mr. Bender. I can't remember. I read your motion yesterday, but did you put in there, or can you tell me how many witnesses Summit plans to offer at the Bismarck hearing?
Yes, Your Honor. We're thinking two witnesses in Bismarck.
Okay. Mr. Pelham, is the PSC planning to offer any witnesses, and do you have any thoughts on the motion or time limits for the Bismarck hearing?
The Commission does not plan to offer any witnesses. As to my thoughts on potential time limitations, I'd like to hear how many witnesses we're realistically talking. I just heard Mr. Bender indicate there's two. I understand Mr. Bakke just generally has, I think, three, and Mr. Jordy is going to have some as well. I think we covered a lot of ground in Linton. I think that we can complete what we need to complete so long as everyone is efficient in the manner in which they conduct their examinations. I would prefer not to have hard set time limitations in place. I think if we get, to a point where someone is taking an inordinate amount of time on an examination and pressing us for time, I think that steps can be taken at that time to try to move things along and to increase efficiency. So that's my general thought on it. And I have discussed this with Mr. Shook, and that would be the staff's position on the motion. Thank you.
Mr. Pelham, can you confirm the PSC is planning to allow further public testimony for Bismarck, correct?
Yeah, it's a public hearing. It's going to be open to public testimony. So certainly, I think, you know, honestly, I think that if someone comes up and wants to read a six-page, seven-page, single-spaced document, I think that they should not be allowed to do that. I think that they should summarize that and you know, be given the option to present that as sort of an exhibit, so as to save time on that and to allow other members of the public to testify. I think that public testimony can be curtailed in that respect, so as it's still allowed and people still have the opportunity to say what they want to say. But to have someone read a newspaper editorial article and take 10 minutes to do that, I don't think is going to be efficient.
And Mr. Pelham, is the commission, again, requesting that public testimony be interspersed throughout the day, or maybe you haven't talked about that yet?
We're not requesting that.
Okay.
We're not requesting that, Your Honor. And as I understand it, the interveners would present their case first. I don't believe, and Mr. Bender can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would suspect that he's not going to offer any introductory witness. I don't think that would be appropriate, quite frankly, because this is sort of a continuation of the initial Bismarck hearing. We've heard the introductory remarks of Mr. Powell several times now. No offense to him at all. I'm not discounting what he's had to say, but I just don't think it's necessary to do that. I think my thought is to allow the interveners to present their case, and then allow for rebuttal from the company, and then followed by public testimony after the completion of rebuttal testimony from the company.
Did I have somebody else join?
Kevin Kranis, I apologize. I had difficulty finding the notice. I'm here.
All right. I apologize. We started without you, Mr. Kranis. Mr. Bender, I just want to confirm if Mr. Pelham's statement was right. Are you're not planning on presenting Mr. Powell to provide a summary, since this is kind of a continuation of the first Bismarck hearing?
The procedure that Mr. Pelham outlined was the procedure that I thought would be appropriate and that I was going to recommend to my client that we follow.
Okay. So the two witnesses you have planned would be rebuttal witnesses?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Next, I'll just ask Mr. Bakke how many witnesses you have planned and thoughts on the motion.
Four witnesses for sure, and possibly five. If there's the fifth witness, and I mentioned this in Linton, it would be former Mayor Steve Bakken, and he would be quite brief. In relation to the motion, that, of course, was received yesterday, I was in a deposition all day past 5 p.m., so really haven't had much of a chance to look at it. But I can tell you that we're opposed to it. I don't know if you want. I intend to file a formal response, but I don't know whether you want me to kind of briefly outline my preliminary thinking on that or not.
If you just want to give us some brief thoughts, and then, yeah, if you file a formal response, you can be more detailed than that.
Yeah, so I guess we went back and looked at the record, and there's been 10 witnesses presented by Summit so far. Mr. Powell, of course, was presented multiple times, but they presented seven separate witnesses already, and you know, in terms of the time that has been used, my client chose not to appear in Wahpeton or Gwinner. My understanding is the Wahpeton hearing went till about 7:30 p.m. The Gwinner one was only till one in the afternoon or so. But in the overall scheme of things, you know, we've only presented two witnesses so far. I agree with Mr. Pelham that it worked well to present some of these additional witnesses for all the parties in Linton. For a number of reasons, including that, we should get our opportunity to present our witnesses, which will be, less time overall than Paul when you consider all the five hearings that are being held, or five hearing dates. That's kind of our thinking at this point.
And I know you can't control cross-examination or commission questions of your witnesses, Mr. Bakke, but the 4 to 5, do you have any thoughts, or have you thought about how long you anticipate testimony from them?
The reason I'm hesitating a little bit is one of them is Brian Bittner, the county chairman for Burleigh County, and I don't know, because that's kind of a evolutionary process in terms of what Burleigh County has done in response to the proposed pipeline. So that's the one I'm not so sure about how long he'll take. I don't expect any of them to be any longer than, say, Mr. Briggs or Mr. Junt in Linton, who I didn't put a time clock on it, but I didn't think they were extremely lengthy witnesses.
Okay. Mr. Leibel or Mr. Jordy, I don't know who wants to speak, but similar, if you could give me an idea of how many witnesses and thoughts on the motion, amount of time you're going to need to present your witnesses, and then also if you're planning to file a formal response to the motion.
Well, I'll take it in reverse order since Brian Jordy. If the court wants a formal response, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that should be denied. We obviously object. I don't think there can be much criticism of any of the witnesses, that Mr. Leibel and I have put forward. And I'd like to think people are seeing we get to the point, we tell the story, and we're moving on. So, insofar as limitation, if there is any limitation to be considered, I would think it's an announcement at the outset that the public commenters get 5-6 minutes, pick a number, much like public commenter at a county commission proceeding or other proceedings where there's, limitations. The interveners have gone through the time, the expense, the frustration to be formal parties in this, and I don't think it's appropriate to limit their testimony. Obviously, if you've got parties that are droning on and on, that's probably just hurting their case and isn't very effective, and that's not my style or Mr. Leibel's style. So with that, we certainly object to the motion. If you want to consider putting some type of guardrails on public testimony and announce that at the outset so people kind of are, throughout the day getting their thoughts together, I'm totally for that. But not as to the interveners, or frankly to Summit as the applicant with the burden of proof. I don't think restrictions are appropriate. We're going to get it done, right? I mean, this is going to be the last grand finale. It's going to happen. It's going to get done. So those are my thoughts there. In terms of witnesses that we will be presenting, right now we're probably at about 6. Similar to the last hearing there in Linton, as we get closer, may a landowner or two want to say, I need to say my piece. Great. Maybe they will. I'm not, expecting a large amount. We're considering if we need any other non-landowner witnesses, but that decision hasn't been made yet. But again, probably similar presentation time, maybe a bit longer than what we just did in the Linton matter if you look at our total direct testimony time. Let me think. In terms of order, again, we have no burden of proof. If someone thinks they've told you everything they need to tell you. That's up to them. They certainly can waive putting on any direct testimony and wait for rebuttal. That's their strategic decision. I don't really care. In terms of how we proceed, I would request that our witnesses go first. We've got the most interveners, and no disrespect to Mr. Bakke, he does have one client, and certainly that their case is important, but I'd like to get our folks rolling first, and then Mr. Bakke and Steve and I can talk if we want to, you know, agree on some order, but I'd like to have our people be able to go first. So I think I touched on all the things, Your Honor, mentioned there, but remind me, please, if I missed something.
No, I think you hit them all. And just to confirm, Victor, are we going to have the same limitations at the Heritage Center again, 11 o'clock end time? Do you know?
Yes, we will have the same time limitations. I'm not in favor of limiting any public testimony time, public input. I'm not sure with whom they're associated, but there was a Facebook post before our Linton hearing that accused the Public Service Commission of talking about limiting that. And with that in mind, we're not interested in limiting public input. I don't know where the commissioners are sitting individually on the topic. I know early on you had asked Zach if we were planning a kind of a similar multiple rounds of it. I wouldn't be surprised if the commission was interested in doing that again, particularly since one of the main reasons we're holding another Bismarck hearing is because the public felt they were not given ample opportunity to comment. So,
and just to clarify, you said that commission wouldn't be in favor of limiting public testimony. Do you mean the amount of people that can talk or the amount of time each person can talk? Because I think in Bismarck, the previous Bismarck one, I did try to limit people to 5 to 10 minutes.
Yep. I think that's reasonable. I don't have an issue with that. I just want to make sure we're not trying to limit how many people talk.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, how you handled that has been perfect in my opinion so far. So.
All right.
Judge Hogan?
Yep. Go ahead.
If I could comment on these. So we are also just grappling with this sort of motion, but I would agree with Mr. Jordy. I think I feel like 5 minutes. I mean, so typically a lot of the hearings we've done in Minnesota where there's substantial public interest, it's a 2-minute limit. That's pretty
short.
Usually people can say most of what matters to two from the general public, but a 5-minute limit is a lot of time. And there is a procedure often for allowing people to speak for 5 minutes, and then if there's time later on to be able to circle back if they have more to say, which I think tends to be fairer for the greater number of members of the public. And so it's something worth considering. It's not critical to us. It's just in terms of witnesses, we expect to have one, maybe 20 or 30 minutes. We've tried to be really accommodating and, you know, of the order and, you know, got placed last at the last one. We would ask to go early on this one. I've got a witness has young children and does not necessarily need to be around for the whole thing. So that would be our only ask. We've taken pretty little of people's time, so hopefully that's okay.
Okay.
Kevin, how many witnesses does Lyuna plan to call at the Bismarck hearing?
One.
All right. Anybody else want to be heard on this issue or schedule?
Your Honor, I would like, Your Honor, just a brief opportunity to respond after everybody's finished. I don't know if everyone's done yet, but...
Okay. Did somebody else chime in?
Yeah, Randy Bakke, Your Honor. In relation to a formal response to the motion, you know, you can tell me how you want to approach that issue, but I would only be inclined to, you know, provide a formal written response if you were to tell me that you want that, or if you could allow me to submit a formal written response. you, in fact, decide to grant the request of Mr. Bender, even though it appears all the other parties are opposed to those time limitations?
Well, I guess it's not really up to me. I mean, if you want to file a written response, you can do that, and I'll wait to issue anything on the motion until you file that. I think I know what your position is on it, but if you want to formalize that in writing for the record, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to delay the court either in its decision, so, but I'll let the court know on that. I need to think about it a little bit. Like I said, I haven't even had a chance to fully review the brief that Mr. Bender submitted yesterday.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? And Mr. Bender, do you want to, you said you wanted to respond?
Yeah, very, very briefly, Your Honor. I don't want to, spend a lot of time on this issue, but I think it's appropriate for me to respond with respect to Mr. Bakke's suggestion that the reason these hearings have gone on so long is because Summit has called 13 witnesses. I'm sure the court is well aware of the fact that the reason the Bismarck hearing took so long was the lengthy cross-examination of Mr. Powell on subjects, on a lot of subjects that were totally irrelevant to the hearing. And we had the same cross-examination of other witnesses that was very lengthy and on matters that weren't pertinent to the decisions that are going to be made. With respect to Wahpeton, we had the same sort of thing with testimony or cross-examination, excuse me, by Mr. Jordy, once again of Mr. Powell, where he went through the application page by page asking questions. He had the application for months and months. He could have asked a lot of those questions in Bismarck. He chose not to ask those questions in Bismarck. He could have asked those questions in Winter. He chose not to ask those questions in Winter. So for anyone to suggest that the delay in these hearings or the length of these hearings is because of Summit is just totally inappropriate in my view. And what I was looking for with my motion to have specific time frames was to prevent that sort of thing from happening again. I'm still very concerned, Your Honor, that even though we talk about Mr. Bakke talking about, not spending a lot of time with each witness, we haven't heard anything in terms of whether we're going to have hours and hours of cross-examination of the two witnesses that we call. And if that happens, I mean, we very well could have a situation where the public does not have an opportunity to testify, or Summit doesn't have an opportunity to put on its witnesses, so its rebuttal witnesses. So those are my concerns, Your Honor. I fully understand the Commission's concern about, putting time limitations, but it just frankly hasn't worked very well so far, and that was the reason for the filing of the motion. Thank you, Your Honor.
So I can tell you what my thoughts are. I don't like setting time limits either, because I tend to think administrative hearings, we got broad latitude in the information that comes in and the evidence that's received. So generally, I'm not in favor of that, but I have significant concerns about this last hearing. And I know the Commission wants to hear from the public, and if we get squeezed on time and public comments are at the end, that's what's going to get squeezed, and I know that's not a situation that the Commission is going to like very much. So I think there needs to be some guardrails on time usage, just because we only have a certain amount of time to get through what appears to be a lot of witnesses, and just I think every hearing we've had other than Gwinner, I mean, some of these witnesses, it's taken quite a while to present them, so I very much have concerns about time usage for this last hearing. So I think in considering this, it would be really helpful for me if the parties could commit to submitting to me the number of witnesses and anticipated amount of time they need to present those witnesses, probably by the end of next week. I mean, the sooner or the better picture I have of how many witnesses and how long we're thinking those witnesses are going to testify would be helpful in deciding whether or not, you know, limits are appropriate for this hearing. So I guess I'll just ask if anybody has an issue with doing that by the end of next week. So that'd be May 19th.
Your Honor, this is Lawrence Bender. I don't have any objection to doing that for the summit witnesses.
Mr. Bakke, can you commit to doing that?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, Your Honor.
And Mr. Jordy?
Yeah, we can do that as to the people at that time. I mean, I don't want to be limited if an intervener, you know, says I'd like to testify as well, and we have to add one. But, I mean, as far as the people that have committed, we certainly can provide that information.
Okay. And even Mr. Jordy, if you can say, yes, I definitely have, what'd you tell me this morning, 6, and I have 2 more possibly, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, we can do a will call, may call designation like that. So.
Okay. And Mr. Apprentice, I don't know, maybe you can just send me something so I have it in writing, although you've told me one witness 20 to 30 minutes, but if you just want to put it in writing, that might be good to have it for the record.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Okay. Are there other issues we need to discuss this morning?
Judge, Zach Pelham here.
Yep, go ahead, Mr. Pelham.
I was just going to comment more on the plan for Bismarck, and I know that the parties, and we had a phone call a couple weeks ago before Linton, and there was discussion of pre-file testimony, and I'm not suggesting that be done in full force, but I do think that there would be some time savings if the parties did submit, introductory type of qualifications, who the witness is, and not to single Mr. Bakke out, but I think it's probably most applicable to his witnesses because he's got Chad Moldenauer, Chad Wachter, Brian Bittner, and his client, Mr. Warford, just to do a summation of their background, their expertise, their education. That's going to save 5 to 10 minutes, and it's something that doesn't need to be, testified to. The other thing I would note is as to Mr. Moldenauer and Mr. Wachter, I see their testimony as very similar in nature as both being developers. I anticipate, and I don't mean to put any words in Mr. Bakke's mouth, but I anticipate both of them are going to be speaking as to the development aspects of the area of the proposed line north of Bismarck. And how it impacts potential future development and those areas. I think that they're very similar witnesses, and I think that there should be an avoidance of duplication of that testimony. I don't think that the commission needs to hear that over and over and over. The commission's very aware of the points that have been made at prior hearings and in prior testimony. I think that there's some similarity as to what Commissioner Bittner is going to say as to the anticipated further development of that area of Burleigh County. So to the extent that that can be limited and condensed so as each witness, is coordinated in what it is that they're going to say, so there's an avoidance of repetition, I do think that a lot of time can be saved as to that. So pre-file testimony, one, as the introductory educational experience, whatever else wants to be added by a party, and then two, just a coordination so that there's a lessening of duplication as to the issue of development in and around the proposed area in north of Bismarck. Thank you.
I'm glad you brought up the pre-filed testimony, Mr. Pelham, and I think I said this at the last pre-hearing conference, and I'm going to say it again. That's a practice that the commission has used multiple times, especially in cases where they anticipate lengthy hearings. The whole purpose of doing it is to save time presenting that information through testimony at the hearing and allow more time for questions and to hear from more people. So it very much is a practice the commissioners are familiar with. It's something they do on multiple hearings, and I think it has worked well. I know they read that testimony prior to the hearing, and it does save time at the hearing so that, like Mr. Pelham said, we don't have to go through all the qualifications and experience type of stuff. And, you know, in other hearings, it's been more than that. It's basically their whole testimony. So it does save time. So again, I would encourage the parties to think about doing that because it allows more time to get to the issues that are really relevant to the commission at the hearing.
Your Honor, this is Randy Bakke.
Yep.
It would not be my intention to get into the educational background on any of these witnesses other than, you know, perhaps did you go to, you know, where'd you go to university at, one question. In regards to their background, I don't intend to spend much time on that either. In regards to Mr. Wachter and Mr. Moldenauer being duplicative, I don't think they are because they're landowners who are affected in completely different ways, and there's different issues they're addressing, both monetarily and otherwise, as to how they're affected. It's true they're both developers, but they're at totally different points on where the proposed pipeline is supposed to be installed. And, of course, you know, the other intervener landowners, multiple of them, and I'm not complaining about this in any way. They have a right to be heard. But there's been a lot of duplicative testimony by landowners on how they're affected. So I don't think there's really going to be any duplication between Mr. Wachter and Mr. Moldenauer.
The other thing I was going to note about the... Let me just say this real quick, Mr. Pelham. No, you're fine. You know, if... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to point out that, you know, the interveners are represented. Your client, Mr. Bakke, is Mr. Warford. Your clients are not Mr. Moldenauer, Mr. Wachter, or Mr. Bittner. So presumably those witnesses are testifying in support of your client's position on this. So to the extent that they have individual interest in that, I'm not, you know, the testimony of a witness or someone called by a party is in support of that party's case. So presumably that's going to be the focus. I hope I didn't hear it differently.
Well, I think this is relevant to the issues the PSC is addressing. You know, the same is true for Mr. Bittner. I don't think they have to be a named intervener, but if you want me to ask Mr. Wachter and Mr. Moldenauer if they want to intervene, I can certainly address that well prior to June 2nd.
I don't mean to expand the discussion here, but the procedure has to be followed here. And, you know, there's a party and it's the intervener. So, I mean, my point is only that the witnesses called by an intervener's attorney should be talking about the intervener's position. That's it.
The other comment I was going to make about the pre-filed testimony, for anybody that's not familiar of how that's normally done, you know, those are part of the docket, so I would encourage you to look up another PSC case where that's been done so you can see what the commission normally gets as far as pre-filed testimony for an idea of what that looks like if anybody's interested in doing that. And again, I highly encourage the parties to think about doing that. All right. Other issues we need to discuss this morning?
Your Honor, this is Randy Bakke. Just briefly, is the start time on June 2nd at 8 a.m.?
I think it's 8:30. Mr. Shook, do you know off the top of your head?
It's 8:30,
Joe. Double checking right now.
8:30, Mr. Pelham?
Okay, thank you. And then the other issue, Judge, you'll recall at the Linton hearing, I indicated I was going to file the direct testimony of John Godfrey on behalf of Summit in South Dakota, and I was just going to submit that as a filing now, unless you tell me you want me to wait until the Bismarck hearing to add that as an exhibit.
I don't have a preference. Does anybody have any objection to it being filed now? All right. Hearing no objection.
I do not.
Okay. Mr. Bender?
No objection.
And Mr. Leibel or Mr. Jordy?
No objection.
Okay. So, yeah, if you want to label it as an exhibit and just file it now, that would be acceptable, and I'll just update the exhibit list accordingly.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other issues to discuss? Okay, hearing none, then if everybody, if you want to do a formal letter or pleading with the witness and length of testimony information, you can, but if you just want to send me an email as well, that would be acceptable. And again, if you could do that by next Friday, which is May 19th, I would appreciate that. And then once I get that information, I will issue a formal decision on Summit's motion. All right. I will note then for the record, it's 10:38 a.m. That will conclude our pre-hearing conference for this morning. Thank you all for calling in, and I hope everybody has a nice day today.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah.